The biggest space story of the last few years was wrong. You probably heard it. The James Webb Space Telescope, JWST, launched, looked back at the early universe, and found galaxies so big and so old that they shouldn't have had time to exist. The headlines said it broke the Big Bang. That turned out to be a measurement mistake. But the mistake led somewhere stranger. While astronomers were cleaning it up, they found signs that the universe built its giant black holes first, before it finished building its stars. That's backwards from the textbook. So today, what JWST really found, and why the correction beats the panic. First, a quick orientation, because it makes everything else click. JWST sees in infrared. The universe is expanding, so light from the most distant galaxies gets stretched on its way to us, out of visible light and into the infrared. The old Hubble telescope couldn't catch it. Webb can. That is the whole reason it can look this far back. Astronomers measure that stretch as redshift. A redshift of 14 means you're seeing a galaxy, as it was about 280 million years after the Big Bang. Back then, the universe was around 2% of its current age. We are talking about the first few hundred million years of everything. So, the crisis that wasn't. In 2022 and 2023, JWST found early galaxies that looked far too massive to have assembled so fast. Too much mass, too soon, and the model says that can't happen. That's where the broke the Big Bang panic started. Two corrections deflated it. The first correction is that bright does not mean massive. A young galaxy can punch way above its weight class. It can form stars in fast, bursty flashes. It can carry almost no dust to dim its light. It can lean toward big, brilliant stars. None of that takes a monster's worth of mass. The second correction is sneakier. A lot of those monster galaxies weren't all stars. Many hit a feeding black hole inside, glowing red, and that glow got misread as a crowd of old stars, inflating the mass estimates by up to a factor of 10. In 2025, one analysis, and I love the title, Statistics Meet Systematics, traced the conflict to a statistical bias, not real extra mass. And it isn't one lonely preprint anymore. It is held up in peer review and lines up with independent galaxy counts. Handle the bias, and the standard model survives intact, the thing physicists call lambda cold dark matter. The honest summary in the field is that JWST bends astrophysics without breaking cosmology. It changed how we think galaxies form, without touching the underlying model of the universe. There's still real tension at the bright end, where the sheer number of ultraluminous galaxies keeps straining the simulations. But broke the Big Bang, that one is over. Remember those hidden black holes inflating the masses? They turned out to be the actual story. Start with the strangest objects JWST has ever found. They're called little red dots, and JWST had to coin the name because no telescope before it could see them. Tiny, intensely red points of light. About 341 have been cataloged, all crowded into the first 1.5 billion years of the universe, and then they're gone. There are basically none today. They're contradictory by design. Around 80% of them show the classic fingerprint of gas whirling around a supermassive black hole. But they're nearly silent in X-rays, which a black hole that big should be blasting out. And they don't flicker the way feeding black holes usually do. They look like black holes wearing a disguise. The boldest explanation has a great name, a black hole star. Picture a supermassive black hole buried inside a cloud of gas so thick that the whole thing glows like one enormous cool red star. The light comes from the black hole feeding, not from fusion. The cleanest evidence is a single object nicknamed the Cliff, studied by Anna de Dugroff and colleagues. Her team built every competing model, a normal star-forming galaxy, a dusty black hole, and everyone failed. Only dense gas, wrapped around a central black hole, worked. Let me flag the uncertainty honestly. The Cliff is one object, one team, one brand new model. The researchers themselves say, if confirmed broadly, so don't let black hole star harden into fact in your head. It's the most exciting guess on the table, but a guess. And here's the question I wish more of the coverage asked. If 341 of these existed early and none exist now, what became of them? Probably the quiet, dormant black holes sitting in the centers of ordinary galaxies like ours. That's the most answerable open question here, and it's wide open. The black hole problem shows up a second way, and this is where the Eddington limit comes in. There's a speed limit on how fast a black hole can eat. Feeding makes heat, heat pushes gas back out, and that caps the growth rate. So to grow a giant black hole, you need time. The early universe did not have time. The headline case is a galaxy called UHC-1. We see it about 470 million years after the Big Bang. A team led by Akos Bogdan studied it with JWST and the Chandra X-ray Telescope. Its black hole weighs something like 40 million suns. The shocking part isn't the size, it's the ratio. That black hole is about as heavy as all the stars in its galaxy combined. Nearby, a black hole is usually about a tenth of a percent of its galaxy's stars. This one is hundreds of times out of proportion. One honest caveat, that 40 million figure isn't really measured. It's inferred by assuming the black hole is eating at exactly the speed limit from a single faint X-ray source. So the headline number and the overmassive claim riding on it carry that assumption, worth holding loosely. To make a black hole that big that fast, astronomers reach for heavy seeds. Instead of starting life as a dead star of a few dozen suns and growing slowly, a giant gas cloud collapses directly into a black hole of 10,000 to 100,000 suns, skipping the star stage entirely. It's an elegant fix. It also describes a process no one has ever watched happen. We're trading one mystery for another. And to be fair, this problem predates JWST. We've had enormous early universe black holes since the Sloan survey years ago. JWST pushed it earlier and sharper. It didn't invent it. There's a third clue, and it points the same way. The early universe should be chemically boring. Heavy elements like oxygen and nitrogen get forged inside stars and scattered when stars die, so right after the Big Bang, you'd expect almost nothing but hydrogen and helium. JWST keeps finding the opposite. A record-setting galaxy seen about 290 million years after the Big Bang holds roughly 10 times more heavy elements than models predicted. The current record holder, called MOMZ-14, is stranger still. It shows more nitrogen relative to carbon than the sun does, a pattern we otherwise see only in the oldest star clusters of our galaxy. With under 300 million years on the clock, ordinary generations of stars simply can't cook that up. This is where the threads tie together. The brightness, the chemistry, the black holes, they might all be one claim. The first stars were monsters. Stars of maybe a million suns, formed from nearly pristine gas, the kind of object that exists nowhere today. Big enough to enrich a whole galaxy fast, and maybe big enough to collapse straight into those heavy black hole seeds. Rohan Nwaidu and colleagues who found it lean toward exactly this. We might be watching the universe's first and weirdest stars at work. One more thing JWST did, a different kind of result. It made a long-running argument harder, not easier. For about a decade, the two main ways of measuring how fast the universe expands have disagreed. Measure it locally with nearby stars as distance markers, and you get about 73. Predict it from the afterglow of the Big Bang, the cosmic microwave background, and you get about 67. That gap is roughly 9%, and it refuses to close. 9% might sound like rounding. It isn't. Both measurements are now precise enough that they shouldn't overlap by accident. If they're both right, something is missing from our physics. That's why this has been a decade-long fight. The comforting way out was always that the local measurement is just sloppy. Crowded, blended stars throwing off the markers. JWST tested that head-on. It re-imaged the same stars at much sharper resolution, and the measurements held up. The team rejected crowding at 8 sigma confidence. The easy excuse is gone. Two honest caveats keep this from being a slam dunk. That 8 sigma test was Adam Ries checking the very measurement that made Adam Ries famous. It's the team defending its own number. And a separate group, led by Wendy Friedman, uses different distance markers and lands lower, closer to 69 or 70, nearer the Big Bang prediction. So the local methods still don't fully agree with each other. What JWST did is real but narrow. It killed the boring explanation. It did not prove the exciting one. So where does this leave us? The story you remember, JWST broke cosmology, is basically dead, and the model survived. But the correction handed us something better. Black holes that are too big, too early. A whole class of little red objects that might be those black holes in the act of being born. And chemistry that hints at a first generation of monster stars we will never see directly. The universe didn't break our model. It just turned out to be more interesting than either the panic or the reassurance. The best mysteries aren't the ones that shatter the rules. They're the ones hiding inside the corrections. Thanks for listening, and keep looking up.